Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
I'm sure it'll be fine. He was nervous about the fact that, so it's friends from school and they're all lovely boys to their cause. But they booked to do like a paintballing thing and they've said that they're a stag do. So the paintballing company, I have no idea how this works or what the business model is here, but they're like, if you say they're a stag do, they're like, oh great, well here's the stag do package. And it's like certain things that you can do with the paintballing. Maybe you get free smoke grenades or something. I don't know. Yeah. More free violence. The opportunity to play against a group of 11-year-olds. But they give you like vouchers for other stuff, like 20% off at Hooters Liverpool.
Oh, of course it's going to be Hooters. I know. Of course.
And then you get a free entry into like the Gentleman's Club or something. I know. So Doug was a bit nervous about it. First of all, because we were worried that Hooters wouldn't have any vegetarian options. And then second of all, because he was like, what do I do? Because he was like, I can't work out how to react to the dancers if we go to the club. Because he was like, I don't want to seem flippant of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And seem disrespectful and like I'm ignoring them. But also I don't want to seem too overly interested in what it is that they're doing because I don't want them to feel leered at. And he like couldn't work out how he was trying to practice how your face should look if you're in a strip club.
It's so hilarious.
Welcome to episode 189 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. We start by talking about running. I know, what have we become? I've been to the physio, so we have lots of dry needling things to discuss, and Holly's training has been going annoyingly well. We have a slight handbrake turn in the middle so we can discuss the stag do that Doug's going on and the very real concerns for feminist vegetarian men in 2024. We then get to chat about music during races, and I'm beginning to think I have a campaign here. And then we're back into running, awful race photographs and letters from you guys and all sorts. It's a manic episode. Now, if you don't already subscribe to Women's Running Magazine, we've got a Pod Squad offer for you lovely people. Hop along to womensrunning.co.uk/podsquad and you'll be able to get your mitts on women's running for just £3.50 an issue, saving 42% off the cover price. The subscription is totally risk-free and flexible. You don't need to sign up for years and years. So it's the perfect way to get loads more women's running fun times for pennies.
This episode is sponsored by Didrikson's, and I know a certain someone who'll be pretty chuffed to hear that.
Me! I am a huge fan of a Didrikson's coat. I wear mine all the time, and it's both super practical and incredibly chic.
I have been eyeing up your Didrikson's number, I have to confess.
Well, you'll have to get your own, I'm afraid. This one's mine.
And I got no excuse to go and get my own, really, because Didrikson's are offering the Pod Squad 20% off. That's 20% off. How blooming generous. With the code RUN24 right now.
That is incredible news. Founder Hannah Didrikson literally created these jackets to protect fishermen from the harsh weather on the North Sea.
Well, if it's good enough for Swedish fishermen, it's good enough for me. Over 100 years later, Didrikson's are still creating durable, waterproof and breathable jackets that inspire people to get outdoors and that really do stand the test of time.
Exactly. And their Sally Pyle fleece jacket even won our Best in Test Award for post-race recovery gear, so you know it's got to be good.
So don't miss your chance to snap up one of these gorgeous coats and get 20% off with the code RUN24 before 7th of April. I'm off to do some online shopping as we speak. See you outside. Speaking of...
Yeah.
I might potentially be launching into talking about running straight away, which I promise we'll talk about something else.
Fucking hell, Hall. But right, yeah, go on then.
I've ordered myself this week. I've gone on a bit of a spree, and I've ordered myself, first of all, a lovely sweatshirt for, I wanted like a really lovely cozy post-run thing. So I've ordered a lovely sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Because also disappointingly, I spilt chili oil on my New York one.
Oh no.
The worst thing. The two worst color, worst consistency. So I've done two washes with Vanish and it's not going out. So so I've replaced that with a really snuggly fleecy sweatshirt. And then I've also ordered myself some gels. I know.
This is really exciting news. What did you order? What did
you get? I ordered Sis ones, SIS ones.
Uh-huh. What flavour? Sis.
Hey, Sis. I ordered a mix because I have no idea. So I got 7 and then they're all a different flavour. So
nice.
I'm just going to work my way through them. There are some I'm excited about.
Yeah.
For example, I think there's a nice orangey looking one in there. There are some I'm less excited about. For example, pink grapefruit.
Oh, actually,
you probably
I think
quite like a pink grapefruit.
I would. Yeah. How do you know that?
Because I know you're
so boring, aren't I?
Yeah. I know your palate.
The one that I really didn't get on with them was apple. Because
apple's in there.
It's a very, very fake taste. It's not. It's like the inside of a Pop-Tart. Not in a good way.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah. That's a bit of a shame. So it's not like an apple puree to be, you don't expect that.
No, no. Orange one's nice. It's like a thick orange squash. It's lush. Yeah.
Okay, I'm really excited about this.
Oh!
So I'm really hoping that they're going to arrive before my long run, which is on Sunday this week. So yeah, that's very exciting.
So you're running, your long run's going to be actually on the weekend. It's not on a Friday.
I know, I've shifted around. Basically, I decided that I had been doing them. Obviously, we're so lucky to work for a running magazine where part of what we do is, part of our job is running, but also to work from home. So I had been doing my long run on Friday lunchtimes, but it did end up, all in all, I was away from my desk for over 2 hours last time because the run took me an hour and 15 and then walking home and putting some beans and toast on and getting in the shower and stuff. By the time I sat back down at my desk, I'd been away for quite a while. So any longer than that. And I was like, it's less that, honestly, it's not because I'm a good person, dear listener. It's because I'm like, I can't be asked to, then it means that on a Friday I'm working till like 6 or 7pm because I've not finished everything.
Not
and
ideal.
So yeah, it's not ideal when I just want to be having a glass of wine and celebrating the fact that I've done my run at that point. So so I've shifted it to Sunday and I'm going to start doing them on the weekends now. I have done an Esther Newman and I've gone through my calendar. You'll be proud to hear. And I've marked out
proud
in the calendar when I'm doing them all so that I don't get to the weekend and freak out and go, oh my gosh, I actually haven't got time to do it. I've pre-thought all of the runs. So,
I'm
doing it on Sunday.
Does that feel good?
It does feel good. I guess if I'm honest, I'm a little bit sad about this week because I would love, I'm missing the feeling. It's Friday lunchtime. And for the last like 6 weeks, five weeks, whatever, I've had this lovely feeling, even if it does mean I have to work a bit late. I've had this lovely feeling where about this time on a Friday, I've been sitting there like, only a few hours till the weekend and I've got it and it's done. I've got it out of the way.
I don't have to worry about it.
So I'm feeling a little bit about that. And I'm feeling slightly meh about the fact that I've got my choir concert on Saturday and everyone's going out to the pub afterwards and I probably won't be able to. I can go, but I probably won't be able to have more than one without feeling panicky about being sick. Because I already think I'm going to be sick without having pints the night before. So a bit gutted about that, but mainly feeling quite good about it. Doug's away this weekend as well. So I'm not like worrying about another person and, oh, am I going to be out of the house for ages and we don't get to spend that much time together during the week and blah, blah, blah. I'm not having to think about that this weekend, which is quite nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice. So are you testing the gel on Sunday?
Well, I'm hoping if it arrives in time, I'll be able to test the gel. Because 8 miles feels like a good distance to start. I don't think it'll be the end of the world if they don't arrive in time, but it feels like that'll be a nice distance to start testing.
Oh my God. That's so exciting.
I'm so excited. I'm feeling genuinely quite good about running at the moment. Fingers crossed. I don't know.
You are. It's really annoying. But
it's so annoying. It's gross. Everybody hates me, who I know.
But I was going to say, do have some Googles on the whole gel strategy thing, because I know that it can be hugely personal. And I've got my own little kind of rotation. You know, I texted you about like how I take them. But the only reason I take them in the manner in which I take them, which I think for lots of people would be maybe too frequent. Mm-hmm. So I've got a thing where like, as far as I'm concerned, if I do anything more than about 6 miles, then I start thinking about taking gel and hydration with me. So if I'm doing something more than 10K, and then my strategy at that point is to start, depending on how long the run is, because I work back, because I see my gels as like once sort of every 3 miles. And if I've had a big breakfast, I might not start until a bit later on in the mileage.
Yeah.
So it all depends on that, but I might work back. So for instance, if I was doing a 10-mile run, I'd think I want to take a gel 3 miles before the end. So I'll take one at 7 and then I'll take one at 4. That's how I kind of work it out. And then if I was doing 12 miles, I might think, right, okay, so I definitely want to take one at 9 miles and then I'd take one at 6 and then I might take one at 3 if I felt like I needed to.
If you hadn't had much breakfast.
Had much breakfast, yeah. If I do a half marathon, I'm definitely taking 3. If I do a full marathon, I'm definitely taking 6 or 7, I think.
So if I were to think about this one, 8 miles I've got to do on Sunday. I'm sure it'll be fine, but I do remember the last two training blocks where I've done 8 miles. 8 miles has felt really wank. So I'm a bit nervous about that, but whatever. We'll see. If I say then that I want to have a gel at 5 miles, that probably will be the only one I do, I reckon.
Definitely.
Yeah, if it's only 8 and I know I can run 5 miles without needing to fuel, then I'll do that at 5 miles. Okay. And that's not too far away from the finish in case I do shit my pants.
Precisely that. I actually might bring it forward a little bit. If it's your first gel and you're first trying it, I might start it at about 4 miles, because for me, what I do, and this is a good thing in order to test it as well, is you don't like wang it back, like just do take little bits. Yeah, you squeeze a little bit into your mouth and then keep on. I'll tell you one thing that you might find though, that I do find with SIS gels, is they can be really sticky. If you pull the top off and as you're running, just be careful not to squidge it too much, because it'll end up on your fingers and then you'll have a sticky fingers and it's really irritating.
Bring some wet wipes,
or if you've got water, then I have to rinse off my hands sometimes with water.
Okay.
But yeah, just take little bits, and my gel usually lasts me about a mile. It's just the best thing ever, because then you're just like, you've just smashed another mile.
Yeah.
But you remember, you don't have to have the whole thing. It's your first ever gel experience.
So you could do a half and see how it goes down. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly that. Yeah.
Okay. That sounded and like we sure were that... talking about taking pills then, didn't we,
it
in the 80s?
Yeah, I know, it was a bit like, yeah.
Yeah, everyone might look a bit funny and you'll start to... Anyway.
Yeah.
I think if you... what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Check what it says on the packet as well, because don't start wanging back anything with the word caffeine.
Yeah,
it.
I did double check when I was doing my research. Mm. As far as I'm aware, unless anybody knows otherwise... Mm-hmm. Please contact me immediately. But I think they had caffeinated options available, and I went for a non-caffeinated option. So
yeah, I think caffeine can work amazingly for people. I'm now like really worried because I have so much caffeine anyway, generally during the day. It now terrifies me because I think I had one sort of slightly dodgy moment with a caffeine, which might not have been the gel, but obviously because it's caffeine, it can have a kind of a bowel outcome. Yeah. But I did use it to great effect. I think when I was doing my first ever marathon distance, and for the last, I think it was my penultimate gel, and I was having that on the way back down, because it was the virtual marathon that I was doing. So I was coming back down the canal path. And unbeknown to me, this gel, I'd stored it in a thigh pocket, and the thigh pocket had rubbed and had actually kind of split the gel packet slightly.
Oh, God.
So when I came to have it, there was only half of the gel left. And I think that was actually quite fortunate. It did give me a power up, but it didn't give me the shits.
Okay, so. That's really nasty though, if you had a sticky pocket. For... That's all I could think about when you... I was like, what a nightmare. All the lint in there.
Do you know what? It was, you know, because it was when I did the virtual London and it was absolutely pissing it down. So I didn't notice at all. Mm-hmm. But what I did notice was when I tried to take my leggings off, because it had solidified and stuck to my thigh. And
giving you a hot whack.
Plaster. It was not nice. It was not nice. I'm not even that hairy and it was so painful. So, oh. Oh, the things we go through, honestly.
The things we go through.
Yeah.
I feel like we've got lots to talk about your running as well, or your lack thereof. Spoiler alert. But also I feel bad for the listeners at the moment, because we've really been talking so much about running and it's probably insufferable. So anything else going on? What are your weekend plans?
I don't have that many weeks. I might actually go for a run on Sunday. I don't know. I'm not really supposed to, because I don't. Oh, no, I have for the listener. I haven't said why I've not run.
No, you've told.
You said it on the live.
You told the live, but you've not told the.
Oh, guys, you're waiting for a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness me. So for me, right, sorry to go straight back to running.
No, just fine.
Sorry, Holly's mum.
We used to be able to, yeah, my mum's going to be turning us over. She's going to be switching over to some, I don't know, the Traitors podcast or something. Yes.
I did the Bath Half on Sunday. So it's been 5 days since Bath Half. And I had some residual hip pain after it, and which I probably wanged on at length boringly in the last podcast, and it was it's been a long time in the coming. It's been kind of, you know, 2-3 maybe even 4 months of like occasionally getting these kind of weird hip and glute twinges after I do a certain mileage, and I was beginning to think there was a kind of nerve thing related to it, because when I'd got over about 9 or 10 miles, I would get this feeling in my hip and glute where I almost had to think my leg to move. Like it was so weird. There was a muscle pain, but it felt almost neurological that I had to kind of engage my brain to move my leg. It was very, very strange. It's such a real weakness in my leg. I know this is super running related. So I went to the physio first off on Monday. You'd all be very proud of me to go and fix that.
Yeah, we will.
And I've been back.
Proud on the live. And I'm proud all over again on the pod.
Thank you so much. and I then, I went back on today. I've been back today to be given, as expected, a series of very boring, small exercises to do.
Okay.
But he also did, right?
I'll come back to the other reason why I'm not running in a sec, but he also did dry needling.
Like acupuncture? Ooh.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So I've had acupuncture before from a physiotherapist.
Oh, I haven't.
Yeah, I have. And it, and the last time I had it was, I mean, about 20 years ago, and it was a delicious experience.
Oh, really?
It makes me
really worried because of Final Destination films. And there's a nasty acupuncture scene that you can probably imagine. Yeah.
Oh God. Okay. So I haven't seen these things, and I don't.
No, you mustn't.
Any film called Final Destination is not on my top 10. It's not there with My Fair Lady or any.
No. Yes, fair classics. Enough.
Or Tootsie. Anyway, so I had acupuncture about 20 years ago, and I remember it being kind of towards my lower back and kind of the top of a thigh, and it just felt like, I think we've talked about it before, it felt like having warm stones placed on my skin. It was really nice. This was not that feeling. This was horrible.
I honestly can't. I have no concept of this. So does he do it over your clothes, or does he do it into your naked?
No, he had to.
Naked,
he had to
bottom.
Pull. Yes, ass. He had arse. To. It was a him, and he had. Ass. So I had to pull down my. Well, he pulled down my leggings, so it was right down. I mean, there was no kind of bum crack, but there was definitely a big kind of swathe of cheek.
Okay,
and
that used to be what happened when I had to get that jab.
Way
back, early days of the podcast when I was on the depot jab, it used to be like that. It was,
it's not a comfy place, is it?
No.
And so he was, yeah. So he said to me, "Have you had this before?" And I was like, "Yeah, 20 years ago." Blah, 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 trying to sound as though I knew what the fuck was going on and what I was doing there. And he said, "Well, there are loads of different methods of doing this." And he didn't even call it. When I said, "Oh, it's acupuncture," he said, "We call it needling." Which sounds a bit more irritating.
Way worse. Yeah.
It does, doesn't it? It's quite acupuncture. It sounds really nice. And he said, there are different methods. Okay. So some people apparently.
We call it sticking pins in your ass.
My method is stabby.
Please. I prefer to call it stabbing. Acupuncture was my father. Please call me needling.
Needling.
Anyway, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. So he said there were these different methods, and he said, you know, some people stick the pins in and leave them, needles, sorry, leave them to do their work. And he said, my method is more of like fishing. And I was like, okay, that already sounds very wrong.
Yeah, anyway, fishing. So he's like digging around.
He was digging around. It was horrible. It's the weirdest sensation because I didn't see what he was doing. Great, which I'm very pleased that I didn't. He basically sticks a pin in, needle. Like he did it like stuck a dagger in. He did it like 3 or 4 times. You don't feel it going in, but what you do feel is the movement. And then you feel, because he I know, it does feel cheeky.
Yeah.
Because he's then sort of weirdly kind of massaging a muscle underneath the skin. It's the muscle that you feel. So
does
like,
he have to do it with a sharp object? I guess so.
Well, he said he could either do that. He started off just trying to manipulate with like his thumbs into my ass. Not into my ass, but just like, you know. Oh, this episode
cheek,
is just not
cheek,
doing
not
well.
Hole.
Oh, God. This is ridiculous. Yes, definitely cheek. So he was trying to manipulate the muscle in my glute, actually.
And actually, it hurt. Correct terminology.
Yeah. And it hurt too much. So that's why he did needles. Needles.
And that was less
thumbs.
Painful.
The needle was less painful, but more weird. Because, he was manipulating the whole muscle underneath. And, you know, muscles are really, really big. So he was going in this tiny, tiny little needle, but the whole muscle was like going, ooh, and like moving.
I will never think of my own body in the same way again. This is
it
really
was horrible.
Weird.
It was fucking horrible. I hated it.
Ooh.
So he did that a bit. And then he gave me two
really boring exercises to do.
Okay, classic.
Which, because I'm going back next week to spend another £60 for the privilege, I'm going to have to do my homework because, you know, if he'd said, I'll come back in a month, then I would have done nothing. And then two days beforehand, quickly done a couple of clamshells.
But you have to do it. Okay, well, at least sometimes it's quite nice to have something prescriptive, isn't it? That like you, at least it takes the thought out of anything. You're not stabbing in the dark. trying to think, oh, what am I doing? And how can I, at least now you know, and you know that those exercises are going to make it better. Still, that's me trying to put a positive spin on something really boring.
Yeah. Anyway, Jet, so I was doing that and it's fine and whatever. And I'm proud that I've gone and I've spent loads of money and I'm not just ignoring it. So it's fine. Oh, but if you've got a hip thing too, the two exercises he's made me do are glute bridges.
Is that when you lie down and then you're like shifting your hips upwards? Like you would do, like if you were just like watching, when you were watching telly as a kid or whatever.
Exactly. So it's a hip thrust kind of thing. Yeah. But he wants to do
like shoulder stands or whatever in front of the telly. Just
I know. The kids do that. Constantly doing that.
I don't know why, but it's so formless.
Yeah. I know. So
okay. Anyway, so glute thrusting. Bridges.
Glute bridges, but he wants you to do them single leg. So you put one leg. One leg straight, one leg bent. Ideally, he wants that your both legs to be parallel at the thigh to knee. So one leg is kind of, you know, one leg is straight and pointed and one leg is bent. But I found those too difficult. And so he said, keep that straight leg on the floor and push up your hips.
I'm bewildered.
I'll have to show you. I'll have to demonstrate for you. But yeah, he's saying, because he's just saying that the only way that you'll work on the imbalance is if you work on one side rather than both sides at the same time. So single leg glute bridges. And then the other one was a clamshell, but it was a slightly different one that you kind of moved not the hip on the ground, the hip that's in the air, you just move it forward slightly so that you're engaging your glutes when you do the clamshell rather than your... I think it's adductors on the right-hand side of your thigh. So don't, as soon as you feel any muscles on the inside or outside of your thigh, then stop doing it. You should only be feeling your ass.
Okay.
It is a thing. So those are the two things I've got to
do. I'm worried. I've just suddenly had an embarrassing thought that, like, if I have a sizable ass with quite a lot of fat content, how would I have acupuncture? Have they got long enough needles? I'm really worried about that now. I'm worried I'll be laughed out of the clinic.
Oh, God. I don't think that's how bodies work. I think.
No, presumably the muscle is.
It's there. Yeah. And don't, like. Oh, my God. Idea. I wonder if. I mean,
that's
what
I'm thinking about. I'm like, imagine going and then they're like, sorry, I can't actually reach the muscle. How mortifying. Oh, well, if I ever go, I'll feedback.
Do feedback. But I've been told ever since I've gone to my first ever physio appointment when I was about 25 that I've always been told that I've got a bit of a lazy ass. I've got I think she literally said you have a lazy buttock.
Really?
Said. Yeah.
Like a lazy eye. One buttock always looking in the slightly...
always a bit sad.
Slightly over somebody's shoulder.
That buttock is going around the corner slightly, yeah. It was just... there's something about... But I've got a shit bum. We all know I've got a shit bum. There's no... Like, if we're talking about trying to find muscle, I mean, I'm surprised that any needle was able to find anything of any substantial mass in this kind of non-existent arse of mine. So
I've got the opposite problems.
Oh, yin and yang.
You have to tell everybody the other reason as well that you've
got to tell them. I do.
Yeah, please.
Yes. So the reason I have not been running actually isn't to do with my hip, because like what serious runner worth their salt would ever stop running because of anything so facetious as an injury? Like, obviously, we all keep on going, don't we? So injury would never stop me. What has stopped me is eyebrows. Mm-hmm. So two days after the half marathon, I went to go and get my eyebrows microbladed again, get them topped up so that I could look as discussed sinister in Zoom meetings. And because basically I'm just getting stuff tattooed onto my face, they do say don't run for a certain number of days because you're just going to sweat your eyebrows off. So I've not been running for pure vanity's sake so
Fair
that
enough.
I can frame my face more beautifully.
Would you ever get them tattooed permanently on, or do you think that would be a bit scary?
Scary, because then I don't know if anyone ever does that, but that's going to, you're going to more, if you don't get them microbladed, I think you're more likely to have something that's going to look like someone's drawn it on with a Sharpie.
Yeah, because yours don't look drawn on. They look really neat.
Yeah. And they're not, also the fading of a normal tattoo.
Oh, yeah, they go slightly blue by the time you were 75.
Yeah,
okay.
They look fucking awful. So, yeah, microblading is, I mean, it's expensive, but I've been doing it for about 3 or 4 years now, and I have very little eyebrow hair. And I just really like it.
But yeah, they make your face look really nice.
Mm, and I know a lot of runners do it, because you can spot it a mile off once you've had it done. And I can see why, because you get up in the morning and you go for a run. And I know that we shouldn't be holding ourselves up to ridiculous beauty standards and so on and so forth, but fuck
only
it,
if
it
just you're caring about
better.
Other people. I was going to say, if you're doing it for yourself, if you like your face a certain way and you wake up and you're like, oh, I'm feeling myself today. Look at this woman with two eyebrows.
Actual eyebrows, yeah. Because I would get up and like go to boot camp or go running or whatever. Obviously with not obviously, but I would certainly do those things without putting makeup on first. I know that some people do, but I certainly wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I just look like an egg. So it's kind of, it's slightly upsetting because you're just going, they do eyebrows. Are so kind of fundamental to the shape of your face and what you look like and your expressions and stuff like that. So
100%.
Yeah. That's what I did. And that's why I've not been running. Full confession. Sorry, guys.
No, I've not run because of, I remember when I got my tattoo, my first one, I was training for probably then it must have been the Bath Half in 2022. And, I remember being like, am I allowed to do this? When am I allowed to start doing it? Luckily, the tattoo artist was a runner. I don't know if I've said that on the pod.
I think I remember you saying that. Yeah,
lovely Vanessa was a runner as well. So she was like, she knew what was going on. She was like, don't do any training where you'll get like really sweaty for a week, 2 weeks or something. And then, but then you're fine afterwards. So yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
I'm worried that, well, no, he wouldn't. That's not, hopefully that's not the kind of stag do that he's on. But
oh yeah,
Doug's gone on a stag do this weekend and that suddenly crossed my mind where I was like, what if they all come home with tattoos and their asses or something?
Where's he gone? Where is it?
Liverpool.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
I'm sure it'll be fine. He was nervous about the fact that... So it's friends from school and they're all lovely boys. They're lovely boys to their cause. But they've obviously been, they booked to do like a paintballing thing and they've said that they're a stag do. And so the paintballing company, I have no idea how this works or what the business model is here, but they're like, if you say they're a stag do, they're like, oh, great. Well, here's the stag do package. And it's like certain things that you can do with the paintballing. Maybe you get free something, free smoke grenades or something. I don't know. Yeah. More free violence. The opportunity to play against a group of 11-year-olds, something like that. But they give you like vouchers for other stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, so you get like... 20% off at Hooters Liverpool.
Oh, of course it's going to be Hooters.
Know.
Of course.
And then you get a free entry into like the gentleman's club or something. Oh. I know. So Doug was a bit nervous about it. First of all, because we were worried that Hooters wouldn't have any vegetarian options. And then second of all, because he was like, what do I do? Because I don't want to appear to be, he was like, I can't work out how to react to the dancers if we go to the club. Because he was like, I don't want to seem flippant of what they're doing
yeah,
and seem disrespectful and like I'm ignoring them, but also I don't want to seem too overly interested in what it is that they're doing because I don't want them to feel leered at. And he like couldn't work out how he was trying to practice how your face should look if you're in a strip club. It was quite funny. I have no idea where they'll end up going because like I said, they're all very gentle, lovely boys, but it did make me laugh.
It's so hilarious.
Luckily, not everybody on this stag do is straight. And I think Doug was like, I'm going to have plenty of company for people who are going to be suitably awkward and
awkward,
laughing
yeah,
about this whole situation.
Oh, that's awful. I remember Dave going to a very similar sounding thing, but I remember it being in Nottingham. I remember him going, and this is quite early doors for us. I remember him going off to that, and there was definitely a Hooters involved and sort of
very, yeah.
And it was so awful. So when it came to, have I talked you through Dave's stag do, like what he did for his?
I know one thing that happened on Dave's stag do, but I'm
haven't talked about it.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm worried that if I say it, that it will, I've met up with somebody else's stag do, and I've
no.
You
know, well,
didn't he have to wear a plastic ball and chain the whole time? Yeah,
he it was clipped onto him for about 2 minutes until he said it felt a bit uncomfortable, and then they took it off. So that was really nice, and that was the worst of it, because he decided to go, he went on a camping walking weekend with his
wholesome
friends, and said, yeah, really wholesome. So they all had, so I think it was, you know, tents, real ale, no one got that drunk, definitely no one threw up. I think, aww, you know, by the time we got married in our kind of, well, I guess he was mid-30s, yeah. Mm-hmm. But by that stage, all the kind of the Hooters-based stag do's had sort of waned.
Yeah.
And then it was on to more kind of wholesome activities with real ale. So yeah. I think that was kind of, I was so, so chuffed. I wouldn't have been able to tell you which way that stag do would have gone.
No,
depending on
I was going to say, I'm actually quite
it
surprised, not to slag Dave off, because of course he will be listening. He's always listening. But I'm surprised that
he didn't just go full strip.
Not that he didn't go full strip. I can't imagine him being like that. But I'm surprised that that it wasn't super boozy, because Dave isn't super boozy now, but he does like the pub. And I would imagine that pre-kids and stuff, maybe it would have been quite boozy.
I think ales were drunk, but I don't think it was a kind of a shot situation.
Okay, I'm really worried about that for Doug, and it's always him. It's always me, and it's always him. Because we get too overexcited and socially awkward and then be sick everywhere. But hopefully he won't.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Don't think about it. Just go for a run.
I know.
You said at the beginning of...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This that we had some emails. I was wondering if we could do the emails.
Should we have the What Are You Saying jingle?
Let's do it.
What are you saying?
What are you saying?
What are you saying this week?
What are you saying?
Lovely. Thanks, Dave. Yeah. And sorry for presuming that you would have had a raucous stag do. I just know he's a popular man about town.
He is a popular man. I do. I mean, I may not have had the full story, of course.
You never
so
know.
Could have been any number of WPCs half dressed in fishnets.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm trying to work out what WPC stands for.
Woman Police Constable. You know, when they're strippers and they dress up in
uniform.
Oh,
I didn't realise that. Yeah. Woman Police Constable. Lady Police Constable.
They're probably not called WPCs anymore. I'm probably showing me age. I don't know.
Police officer. Right.
That's probably why you don't. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a police officer.
Oh, look who it is.
Sorry, I'm here to shut. We've had a noise complaint. Oh God. Okay, so two emails that I would like to read out to you that are both in support of your case, the ongoing case Newman versus Bath City Council about out loud music on your runs.
Noise pollution.
Yeah. So this is from Demelza, who is joining in on the cycling front. She said, following on from your podcast rant about this, I have to tell you what happened on my long run at the weekend. I had 16 miles to do and a friend was coming with me. However, she needed to go home after 10 miles, so I had the last six on my own. Annoyingly, I realised I'd left my headphones at home. I've had exactly that before when you go out with a friend and so you don't think about it. So there I was, running on my own, listening to the bird song on the cycle and footpath that runs along the route of an old railway line where I live. That sounds gorgeous.
It does.
But not for long. I heard a strange noise. There was definitely music, but also a sound like someone was in pain. The two sounds got louder and louder until I could clearly identify Belinda Carlisle belting out Heaven is a place on earth. Heaven is a place on earth, I said.
A place on earth. I mean, that's fine with me. I'm quite happy with a bit of Belinda Carlisle.
Yeah. I love a bit of Belinda Carlisle as well. but accompanied by what was increasingly clearly a man's voice singing along. And by singing, I mean a strange sort of howling, occasionally coinciding with Belinda's notes, but only very occasionally. Not great, is it? I was then overtaken by the singer, and she's put that in inverted commas, a middle-aged man on an electric bike with his phone on speaker on a handy stand on the front of the bicycle. The only good thing was that as he was on an electric bike, he headed off into the distance, spoiling everyone else's peace fairly quickly. Really, really annoying.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Singing.
Super annoying.
Singing.
Not nice. Not nice.
Yeah, that's a bit intense.
I was going to say, before you get on the second one, I've had an Instagram message. I think I might have had two, but I think I've lost one.
Oh my God, we've got so many voices in this mounting campaign.
This is great.
Hear
us be really upset about Belinda Carlisle. Because we had Dean a couple of weeks ago and he'd had it. And then Jenny on Instagram, she said, I was doing a half marathon. There was a runner. I was around a runner for about 30 to 40 minutes as we were at a similar pace.
Oh, God.
And he was playing Bollywood music. Really just wanted it to stop and get away from him, which I eventually did. But half an hour. Oh, that set her off.
It's really giving me the giggles. Unspecified volley. I like the idea as well that he was just like, no preference, just Alexa, just play Bollywood music. Oh dear.
So did your second letter, was that also about
I know
nuisance music?
Male listeners, and we love them, and we include them with Keanu Reeves as the men that we exclude from any of this slagging off.
Yes,
but it is all men so far.
Yeah. Yes. It
is.
It's true. When I did the half marathon in Thingy, where was I? New Forest. That was a woman.
Okay.
So
you get all sorts. This is from Rachel as well. She said, I just wanted to say I completely agree with you about personal music played out loud while running, especially during a race. It's really annoying. I've experienced it a bit while running and hiking too. Once I was hiking the Great Ridge in the Peak District and a group of teenagers joined the path playing music really loudly. In such a scenic, peaceful setting, I thought it was so selfish of them to ruin other people's time outdoors. We had to pick up speed to get away from them.
Last weekend, a group of adults were doing the same on one of my trail runs. Luckily, I was going in the other direction. I thought it was odd for a group of adults. Surely they would be chatting to each other on a walk and not need music. One of them did say hello to me, and I wondered if in their case, they were playing one thing that came up in conversation. Got you. Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Remember this. Yeah. Remember Heaven and Earth by Belinda Carlisle? Maybe one of those.
What do you mean by Bollywood music? What do you
yeah, I'll just show Alexa, example of Bollywood music. I did notice once music coming from a runner who seemed to be wearing bone conducting headphones. This made me wonder, as I wear Shox bone conducting headphones myself, can people hear my podcast or music, or does it depend on the quality of the bone conducting headphones, or weren't they conducting headphones that I saw? Someone that looks similar but is actually little speakers, or something that looks similar but was actually little speakers on a headband, not sure.
Yeah,
good discussion point,
interesting.
Rachel,
interesting. Yeah. I think that you can actually, I think you can hear slightly other people's, like whatever they're playing through their bone conducting or air conducting headphones. I think you can slightly,
yeah,
but only if you're essentially cheek to cheek with them. I think if yeah. you can hear the music, if you can hear the lyrics, then I think there's probably a good chance that that person hasn't synced their headphones
to their phone.
Yeah, yes. Which I have been guilty of doing, and actually taking a few steps and just thinking, oh shit, hang on a minute, everyone can hear that.
I had it the other day when I'd just been on a run, so I had my Shox in, and Doug called me in Sainsbury's after the run, and I was expecting it to come through the phone, the headphones, and then it came really loudly for some reason on speaker through my phone, and I was so embarrassed that I just hung up.
And he That's was like, what I do. Fuck?
Yeah.
I'm always having a panic, like such an old lady. I'm just going, oh, yeah, yeah. It's all too loud.
Yeah. Have you ever been listening to anything that you've been like, you're like taking them out and like checking whether you would be able to hear? Because you're like, oh my God, I would be so embarrassed if someone heard me right now.
No, because I don't listen to the smutty stuff that you listen to, but I bet you have.
I have. Well, I've literally thought that on my last run because I've been listening to not One Direction fan fiction, guys, before you think, before you leap to conclusion. I've been listening to a Sally Rooney number, and they're always quite
there's always some
explicit
quite graphic
in the descriptions. Yeah. And there was a particularly graphic sex description going on and I was like, oh God, and I wasn't having the same inner shame if I was listening to the One Direction stuff or whatever, because I was like, it was all part of
this is literature.
I was like, this is literature. Okay, Keats would have written something like this if he was around today.
Definitely would. He was filthy. Like if it was but out of context,
out of context, I was like, I do hope nobody can hear this. I don't know why I turned into a little Bridgerton
Victorian
woman.
Yeah. Hope no one can see my ankles. It's like, goodness me. But I know you generally like to listen to filth, so I'm not surprised.
It just keeps me engaged somehow.
Fair enough.
I'm not going to get bored. But I am coming towards the end of my Sally Rooney. It's Conversations with Friends, which was the only one that I hadn't done. I'd read Normal People, and I'd read Beautiful World, Where Are You, whatever it's called. I'd never done Conversations with Friends. So I have to say, finding it the least interesting of all of her books. It's a bit dull.
Weird. Conversations with Friends is the only one I've read.
Oh, really?
And I've not read the other two, but I saw Normal People, obviously saw Normal People, like during lockdown.
We all saw Normal People.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
What else did we have to do apart from a first?
There was over that.
Doug went away for a week recently, and I just watched it all back in my own.
Oh, did you watch it all again? I can't watch it again.
Oh,
I can't watch
painful.
That last episode again. Oh my God,
it's very painful, isn't good. It? I read that painful. On a press trip. That book in like
oh, did you?
A space of days. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, I was too invested.
Beautiful World, Where Are You? Really good as well, though. Again,
is
that
it?
Got some really explicit sex stuff in. And I remember it was like a classic where I read that on holiday, on a family holiday, and it was like my sister, it might have even been my sister's friend who asked to borrow it. And it was one of those where I was like, of course, but please don't look me in the eye or think about me at all while you're reading it.
Oh, am My God, I've had that so often when I've borrowed books from my mum or or recommended them.
Yeah.
Recommended books to my mum. And then afterwards gone, oh no. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a massive, the massive fellatio sequence I completely forgot. And now we both have that in our heads and my mum's going to know that I know what it is, you know. God.
Awful.
Awful.
Awful. Just awful. Yeah.
So bad. So bad. Yeah.
So I do need some recommendations, actually, if anybody is.
I've got one.
Oh, go on.
I finished Green Dot. Did you read that?
Oh, no.
Oh, so good.
I will.
So good. Madeline Gray, I think.
I've got loads of Audible credits, so I'll not bragging, but
she is a bit though.
I'll have a little look after this because I'm nearing the end. I've also been doing a lot of reading. Do you know what I've been doing? This is really rogue, but I've been reading a lot of poetry.
Have you?
Yeah, it was a really spontaneous thing. But I used to love a bit of poetry. When this is going to make my family sound like some sort of Von Trapp family or something, but quite often when I was younger,
did you read it aloud to each other?
Sometimes. By the light of our candlesticks.
Oh my goodness me. Tell more. Go on.
Okay, so we definitely used to do a little bit of that when I was a kid. Both my parents love poetry. And so, yeah, they would sort of read us poems when we were kids and stuff. Classics sometimes that you know, like a bit of Michael Rosen or Spike Milligan or something. Not talking about like Wordsworth or something when we were little. But
so what are you reading now?
So now I'm reading, so I picked up, basically I went to Mr. B's, shout out Mr. Mm-hmm. B's in Bath, the best bookshop. Well, actually there are two excellent bookshops in
there
Bath.
Are, well, three actually.
yeah we're very blessed.
Persephone and Toppings.
Toppings
brilliant.
Is also just an incredible experience, and it's open until I believe 9 p.m. or it could.
Yeah.
Is it 9? So you can literally go and just like hang. I might fucking do that tonight.
Tell me. Anyway,
I went to Mr. B's and I just got really lost in the poetry bit, and I was like, I'm just gonna buy some poetry books. One of them is quite a famous, popular one, Slug, it's called, which is a collection by called Holly somebody.
It's not Holly McNish.
Yes, it's Holly McNish.
I love her so much.
I'm really excited to read
so
that.
So much. Yeah.
The other one is that I'm reading at the moment is a less well-known poet, a newer poet. Mm. They're a non-binary poet and it's called Three Births, and it's basically about physical birth and then birth into sort of discovering sexuality and then birth into discovering gender identity. That's really interesting. Kay Patrick, I think is the name of that poet. And then I picked up another one as well that I can't remember, but that's about religion. It's like a, I believe, Muslim poet talking about living it, like navigating the sort of modern world with, but also wanting their parents to be proud of them and not be ashamed of them, sort of thing. Anyway, they were just like,
Holly.
I know, they were just random. You're so things deep. Really deep, right? I don't know why. I just had this moment where I was like, I'm so deep. I felt less excited about being deep when I got to the counter and they were like, £45, please. And I was like, what the fuck? But I am enjoying them all. I'm finding it easier to, I don't want to come across as a wanker. I'm still a massive idiot, but I like to be able to wake up in the morning. Or if I'm going reading before I go to sleep or whatever, and just do like a couple of poems rather than have to try, because it takes me quite a while sometimes to like engage back into a story with a book, and then by the stage that you're like re-engaged, you've remembered where you were and you've picked back up and you're back in the sort of world again. And you're like, oh, I've been reading for like half an hour, I really should go to bed. Whereas I really like with these that you can just pick up a poem, and some of them I'm like, that means nothing to me. and I'll read it in like 10 seconds. Some of them I'll be like, oh, that was really interesting. I wonder what they meant by that. I'll go back at, and look at that a bit more. Or I might read them multiple times and be like, oh, different meaning that time. Anyway, I'm becoming less relatable.
You are. I mean, you've gone from One Direction fan fiction.
I know.
To like, you know, highfalutin. I mean, poetry is supposed to be the highest of all art forms.
Is it? Right? Well, I find it the best because it's the shortest.
The shortest of all art forms. There was a young lady from... Anyway.
Actually, imagine that's what I said. I've got really into poetry. There are these things called limericks. And normally they end with somebody sharting or something.
There was... Did you watch The Crown? Have you been invested in The Crown?
I watched the first... few episodes. I'm aware there are about six series. I'm wildly behind.
It's worth watching. There's an episode with Princess Margaret telling an absolutely filthy limerick. I'm going to see if I can find it actually.
Oh, because
I think it's worth repeating.
Princess Margaret's limerick. I didn't get so far. Who was playing Princess Margaret when she recited the limerick?
It was going to be Helena Bonham Carter.
Okay, I didn't get to Helena Bonham Carter's.
Did you know? Margaret.
No, I literally watched the first like three or four episodes of The Crown because I got to the time where everything goes blackout and a woman gets hit by a bus.
Oh.
Or probably by like a horse and carriage or something at that stage. It was, but after the Queen died.
Yeah.
I just had like a bit of a Queen bonanza for a day. I'm not really into the royal family, so I didn't really know anything about it. So I was like, after we watched the Statey Funes, I was like, oh, I'll see what all of this is about. And I watched a few episodes of The Crown and I was like, fair play.
Right, I've got it. Are you ready?
Okay, go.
Princess Margaret. Princess Margaret apparently said this in the White House in 1965.
Who would have been the president?
I don't fucking know.
Oh, okay, no idea.
I don't know.
I'm picturing...
It might be... Isn't
Ronald
it JFK?
Reagan. JFK. It's JFK. Okay, let's picture JFK.
Ronald Reagan. Oh, Holly, come on.
No idea. No idea.
There was a young lady from Dallas who used a dynamite stick as a phallus. They found her vagina in North Carolina and her arsehole in Buckingham Palace.
No way. I'm coming round to Princess Margaret.
She's brilliant, yeah.
An absolute Can you believe scream. That Kate Middleton isn't allowed to... fuck around with Photoshop or whatever, but Princess Margaret was wanging on about people's fannies flying across the seas.
She's always been a hoot, has Princess Margaret.
Oh, lovely Princess Margaret.
Yeah. Loved a fag and a drink.
Yeah, she did. And for our American audience, that wasn't a slur.
No.
I always worry about that because we say that all the time on the pod.
Do we? Having a fag. God, sorry. I mean, cigarette. I mean...
Yeah, there was a classic story where it was like, it was somebody who was like talking about the fact that they'd done it was an author, I can't remember who, talking about the fact that they had written in, like there was a sentence in the book that was like, went outside and lit up a fag. And they read that bit out in like an American audience and the American, they were like, oh, yeah, thought that she was talking about committing a heinous hate crime.
But do you remember like the first ever time I remember reading a book by an American author where it referenced a fanny pack? And I was like, what are you talking about? Do Americans have tiny little bags
that they tie around their fannies or something?
Fannies. I mean, I was like, I couldn't remove the kind of the thought in my head. I was like, I can't shift that.
Like a chibi or something.
Yeah. It's like, what is that? That's the weirdest thing, isn't it? I mean, I think that mostly the American language, not mostly, well, I think a lot of the time with American language, actually, the words make much more sense. They're much more literal, aren't
they? Sidewalk.
Sidewalk.
Eggplant.
Yeah, that's... Okay, less. Oh, no, no, no. That is literal, isn't it? Because I think that when it first emerges, it does it like a little egg.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, I think yeah. Okay, when you have the baby ones, I can see that.
I think it's supposed to be literal. What other Americanisms are there?
And what else are you going to call it? Massive knob plant.
Weird bulbous plant. That looks like an aubergine. Yeah.
Just as a reminder, this is our job.
This is ridiculous. I mean, do you think we should talk about running rather than the American language and its pros and cons?
Yeah, I mean, what else have you got to say? Mm. I have actually got a few more letters as well if you want to.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, okay, if we want to spitball a few. I know one thing that I really wanted to mention to you was, I've already emailed this on to you, but just shouting out on the pod that, where is it?
I don't know.
Sorry, that's embarrassing. Oh, here we go. No, wrong. Okay. So Lucy, shout out to Lucy. I mean, I'm sorry because I feel like we get lots of people who email in that have done events and I'm really bad at keeping on top of them and remembering to shout all of you out. So sorry to be incredibly biased, but there was a little flurry of them recently. Big shout out to Lucy who ran the Bath Half recently. And I loved her story. She said, I knew Esther was running and all day I kept my eye out so I could give you a big fangirl wave. I didn't see you, Esther, but never mind because I was listening to you and Holly on the pod and the two of you kept me company around the course and spurred me on. Thank you. But imagine my joy when I looked at my event photos and saw that unbeknownst to me, I had been running next to Esther the whole time. And there's a picture of Lucy running this and Esther's just like lurking behind her.
Lurking is the word. You sent me that photograph. I have like, race photographs, like you will get like one in 30 where you look like really good and happy and strong and and on a kind of upstride rather than a downstride when every single pit of skin is heading towards the pavement. But this is not one of them. This is a really bad photograph of me. And I look in pain. And not only do I look in pain, but I'm wearing sunglasses.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm finding most surprising that you're wearing?
Oh, what?
Little gloves.
I was wearing little gloves because I get very cold hands.
Oh, so you're wearing a t-shirt, but little gloves. I've never seen you do that before.
Yeah, so I can go off and play a round of golf very quickly.
Sort of handle a very delicate artifact.
Important documents, yeah. Or shake a lot of people's hands.
The magic trick.
So I look really, really odd in that photograph, don't I? I've got a short sleeve t-shirt on. I've got pink gloves, I think.
Yes.
And I've got a pair of sunglasses.
I'm laughing at them.
And I'm in terrible pain. And the thing is that I know that I was wearing sunglasses for, I think, approximately the first mile. So this was in the happiest that I would ever be. So God knows what I look like later on.
You do look strong, I would say. You do.
Well,
you don't look like you're in as much pain as you say. You look well.
I do not look happy though. I think we can both agree on that.
You don't look super happy. But then who does?
No.
Nobody in that picture looks happy. Lucy doesn't look happy. She looks quite professional though, because it looks like she's reaching into a bum bag, a fanny pack, if you will. and getting like a gel or something out. She looks quite professional, I would say. You both look very professional running
next
to each other.
Good for her. I don't care. Me, I have my running gloves on. I don't care.
You both look equally professional.
Spot the girl with Reynards. Oh my God. Aww. How embarrassing.
No, it's really cute. I just was like,
why is she dressed? Why has she come as Mickey Mouse? Is that what you're
trying to say? You know when AI always gets the hands wrong or something? It's like, if something happened in this picture. Anyway, that made me laugh, but it was lovely. And massive shout out to Lucy. Massive well done. Great plot. Mm. She said, keep up the good plodding. I say, keep up the good plodding.
Yeah, I think we should. Yeah.
No idea whether she's a plodder, actually. She could have been going really... She is in front of Esther in the picture.
She is.
Then there was another shout out here, which was just that... Somebody else sent a lovely thing that they'd done. Sorry for my unprofessional behaviour.
That's okay. I'll fill by humming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sing a little thing to us all.
Yeah, I don't know what to sing. I could tell a poem. Little Artie at the party ate up every single smarty. It's the only poem I can remember.
Oh, that was good. Oh, okay. This is a little shout out to Anne. Again, I'm really sorry because I do feel like lots of you guys send these in and I miss some of them. I'm so sorry. So I know there were so many races last week.
Yeah, there were, weren't there? Yeah.
Yeah. But this is a little shout out to Anne as well, who said, want to thank you both for accompanying me on every run while training for my first ultra.
Ooh.
I know. I was very impressed by this. Trained otherwise on my own and never actually thought I'd manage to do it. But listen to the podcast. I got myself up to 22 miles. I listened to you every week, laughed out loud in traffic, and you helped the hours over five on one occasion pass by. That's amazing. Oh, that's really, really lovely.
That's really lovely. Who wants to listen to 5 hours of us?
I know, chatting shite. I made it to the start of the run and managed to finish the Haworth Hobble. If I've said that right, Haworth Hobble.
Ooh.
Haworth Hobble 2 weeks ago. I'm still stunned by my achievement and I booked a marathon for September. That sounds very
amazing.
She's attached a little Strava screenshot so I can see that the hobble included over 9 hours on her feet and it was over 30 miles.
God.
So yeah.
Oh my God. No small feet. Congratulations.
That's, huge congrats.
Absolutely.
Well done all, and all the people I've definitely missed. I will come back to your emails because they're all sitting there and I will work my way through them. This is for also a quick one, just from Aya or Aisha, it might be, or she is talking about Ireland here. Yes, she's from Ireland, so it could be something that I've not even
could
considered.
Be anything. Right, okay.
I'm so sorry about this.
I think it's probably Neve. Right, go on.
Yeah, okay, nice. She says, was just listening to episode 188 and discussion about the goodie bag at the end of the race. If you run the Belfast 10K half or marathon, you receive a pack of Tato crisps. Bloody brilliant. Way better
Iconic.
Than gels at the end. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's such a good thing.
I love that.
Yeah. They're supposed to be like the best crisps in the world, those ones.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really amazing. Jealous.
There's Tato World, isn't there? Like, isn't there a theme park based around them? I believe so in Ireland.
And it's going to be better than like that Wonka thing that was in the news recently, yeah?
Oh, we didn't even talk about that on the pod. The Glasgow Willy Wonka experience.
Well, obviously, there's so many synergies between women's running and Glasgow Willy Wonka
experience. Well, I was obsessed with it, though. I was reading up everything I could about that. Oh, dear. Seen, actually, that email was signed off just A. So I'm going to go with that. A.
Okay. A.
And then please write in and let us know how to pronounce. I'm actually going to quickly look it up because it's bothering me. Can you do another poem?
After that, I saw him take the largest slice of chocolate cake. Is that enough?
Oh.
And I think it then goes, because after all, when some are needy, isn't it dreadful to be greedy? But I think I've missed out many lines there about Little Artie at the party. I had to learn it for, what was it called that I belonged to? The Woodcraft Folk. I had to learn it for the Woodcraft Folk to join.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to join the Scouts. I had to join the Woodcraft Folk or whatever it was, Brownies. So
would you like to hear this pronunciation? It's rated, it's rated easy to listen to pronounce. Let's hear. I've no idea this will come through. Did you hear that?
Nope. What did it say?
Oh. Maybe it's just I can hear it. Aisha. That's what somebody says on howtopronounce.com / Aisha. Anyway.
Oh,
I
I'm
do
so
apologize.
Sorry if this is coming across as being at all massively racist to Irish people and their beautiful names.
Yeah, Irish xenophobia. And I do think that Irish names are so gorgeous.
They are.
Yeah, Welsh names are gorgeous. Doug was talking about wanting to name a child Mavanwy the other day.
Oh, I love Mavanwy. Irish names. There's a girl down the road and she's Aoife, and I love Aoife. I think that's just the really nice. Nicest name. Yeah.
Kiva. Really. I know a Kiva.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, there are some gorgeous ones, to be fair, aren't they? Neve, Obs.
Obs, Neve.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the beautiful names.
Just all the beautiful names.
Need to come with a little pronunciation.
Yeah. Saoirse. Siobhan. It goes on.
Oh, God. Oh, you know what, Hall? I think that's, I think we should stop there, shouldn't we, really?
Because it's been a slightly bonkers episode.
If we're going completely bonkers about Irish names, it really is coming to the end of this episode, isn't it? This is a classic Friday recording, people, because we are diving.
What are the options? Depressed or insane?
It's like, oh my God, look, we're maybe an hour and a half away from a massive glass of wine. And so we're going to go mental.
I'm going to go to the pub tonight and I'm really excited about it.
Oh, lovely. Lucky you.
Yeah, I've got to get my run out of the way first and then I'm going to the pub. But I mustn't have too many because, as discussed, I've got my choir concert tomorrow.
Yes, you
do. I know.
And if you get too pissed, you'll be singing really deep, wouldn't you? Like, oh, oh,
oh. I'll have to move down into the altos or maybe even the tenors. I know. There's a lot of female tenors, actually, in the choir.
Really?
Female tenors.
Oh. How deep is a female tenor? Can you sing a bit of female tenory?
I have no idea. I don't know if I could sing you a bit of female tenor.
Because I always find it really funny when I go and see Dave in Dave's choir, like seeing all the other, it's the basses. I find the basses hilarious and I know I shouldn't.
No, you're allowed to. Ours are really funny because they go, because it's a cappella as well. They often do the bom, 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 or whatever. Yeah. I imagine that like they're sort of like the tubas of the choir.
I think it is. Yeah, there is something to do. They definitely do some of that sort of heavy lifting. But I think because of the range of the voice, it does change the shape of their faces and eyes more than some of the other registers, you know, like so.
Because they're singing down here.
Yeah, there's a guy who we call Small Smiley. I don't know who lots of the people in the choir are called, but Doug and I call him Small Smiley. And he has the most expressive face. He's got serious bass face.
He's not an American, is he, by any chance?
No.
Because Dave has there is a singer in his choir who is
Small Smiley.
Expressive. Small Smiley.
Yeah.
There are definite, there may well be crossover because I know that Jean, shout out Jean, for example, and her husband are retired and they're in three different choirs. So they're going, you know, every other night they've got another thing on. So I don't know how they managed to remember all the music.
All these singers. I know. Oh, look, we've got to stop. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
I need to get a drink of wine. You need a run. Up. I mean, what the hell is going on with this episode?
I know. I've got to go. Ridiculous. Let's get this run out of the way.
I'm so sorry.
I'm really glad that we got waylaid by something earlier at work that has meant that I'm about to go now. This is far preferable. I'm going to go and run in the lovely sun and then go to the pub.
Amazing. You enjoy that. I'm going to go. I have to look after four children that are completely off their tits on sugar because there's been a sale on the green after school, so they're going to be absolutely mental. Anyway,
I reckon you need a trampoline.
Don't say that, we got rid of it.
Don't say that.
Then you can just like one of those ones with a net in lock.
We used to have one and then they didn't do anything on it for about 2 years.
Oh, really?
So then we sold it and every day since, Felix has been like, oh, I really want the trampoline back. It's like, you never go into the garden. Never go.
Yeah.
And our garden is about the size of a trampoline with a net around it. So it's quite a big thing for us to do.
Fair enough. You're giving up a lot of real estate to it. Yeah. Doug, I remember Doug's family sold theirs like, it was still around for a few years after all the kids had left school. And I remember the first time of going back and visiting and not being able to bounce on the trampoline. And I was like, oh, I was about 25 and I was absolutely gutted.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Right. Go. Yeah, run.
Let's shut
run.
The hell up. I'm going to go and run. See you later.
All of you, go and run. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. And do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.